Thank you. sees. And we want to see him.
Amen.
I think that's really the cry of the heart of every person in the world, that they just, you know, would get away from the influence of the things of the world and just get quiet. You know, you find out that there's a desire in their hearts.
Yes.
All peoples want to see God. Amen. And so, good to be in the house of the Lord today. Just remember those that are out missing today, those that have been sick and different things, those that are traveling. Just remember them. Pray that the Lord will bless them and bring them home safely. And if you have your Bibles, let's go ahead and open to 1 John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 1 through 7. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifest unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And I want to read one verse in Romans chapter 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to you this morning, Lord, we realize it is a blessed thing to be able to come to your house, to be with your people, and come to worship you, Lord, and just ask that you would just come and be among us. Lord, we know that you're here because we have gathered here in your name, each one of us bringing just a portion of you. But Lord, we want to just let you have your way this morning, that you would just walk into the doorway of our heart, Lord, that you would just move in and speak to us in a way that only you can. Pray, God, that you would just call each one of us to attention to your word this morning. Just touch those that are sick in body, those that need strengthening and healing. Just pray, God, that they would find you to be everything they need today. We ask you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We're entitled this today, Unhindered Fellowship with God. Unhindered Fellowship with God. You can have, you know, you can have fellowship, but you can have unhindered fellowship.
Yes.
So we want to talk about that a little bit today. Kind of springboarding off of Wednesday night service when I was talking about being led by the Spirit of God. And we read the scripture there where it said that all those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Amen? And so I was saying Wednesday night that we could look at it from this standpoint, that as a son of God, as children of God, that it is our inheritance. It is an inheritance, it's a guarantee, it is our lot as sons of God that we have fellowship with God and that we are led by the Spirit of God.
Right.
So the scriptures was saying that, you know, we need to realize that and think about that. That as sons of God, we know we have a guarantee to hear the voice of our Father.
Amen.
To be led by him, to speak to him, to fellowship with him on a daily basis. We don't have to worry. We don't have to worry about, well, I wonder if God is with me, or will he be with me tomorrow? Will he? That's that's something, you know, I realize that there's battles that we fight, and Satan tries to come in and all those sorts of things, but you know, our victory is in faith, our faith in the Word of God, and the Word of God says that we as sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. And so we don't have to worry about whether or not God's going to speak to us and whether He's with us and whether He's going to lead us and guide us. We have the guarantee to know that through our life, for the rest of our remaining days here on this earth and then on into eternity, we have the guarantee to know that Almighty God is going to speak to us because we are His children. Yeah. We're going to be able to have fellowship with Him. Now that is, as long as you reciprocate that. And so, because you know you can hinder that. So we have a guarantee of a future that's fully blessed. Fully blessed with everything that God has promised, everything God wants us to have. We don't have to worry about that because we're His sons. We're His offspring. Right? He's not going to lose a one. I was speaking to someone earlier this morning, and I said, we have this confidence of knowing one thing, is that God, none of God's children can be lost.
Right.
Not a one. You can't, no matter how much you pray, no matter how much you witness, no matter how, whatever you do, you can't make someone elect. You can't make someone a son of God if they're not. But if they're a son or daughter of God, there's nothing that can take that away, and they can't leave this world and be lost.
Yeah.
Right? They can't.
Right.
And of course, you know, we don't know who is who and what more, but we have that confidence, and so we have confidence in knowing that as a child of God, I have access. You have access to God.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That no matter what's going on, no matter what circumstances you're going through, that you can approach God and He'll be there to speak to you. You'll be able to enter into a fellowship with Him.
That's right.
And when you don't know what to do, He'll tell you what to do.
Amen.
He might tell you to wait a while. You may go a while, you know, but you understand you have access to all His attributes, to His wisdom, to everything that He is. And so we have that guarantee as sons and daughters of God because the Scripture said everyone who's led by the Spirit of God is a son of God. So you can reverse that and say that if you're a son of God, then you're guaranteed to be led by the Spirit of God.
Right.
Not trying to play trick on words or anything like that. So now we know that God dwells, He actually dwells in a realm of His own, right? Brother Bam tells us that God is the only form of eternal life, and that's Zoe life, right?
Yeah, right?
There's only one form. There's only one source of life, right? And He is that source. He's the only form of eternal life. And so He dwells in a place of His own, in a realm of His own. He is omniscient, right? He knows all things. The Scriptures let us know these things. He's omnipotent, so He has all power. And He's omnipresent. So He has all understanding. He can't learn more, and He can't forget. Right? And if He has thoughts, He doesn't lose His thoughts. And if He takes His thoughts and He speaks into the Word, He can't lose His Word. Right? And so He's all-knowing, and He's all-powerful. Amen?
Right.
There's not one thing He can't do except fail.
Right?
And go back on His Word, which if He went back on His Word, He'd be failing.
Right.
He can't do that. So He's omnipotent. So there's nothing that can stop Him.
Yeah.
Right? Nothing can stop Him.
Right.
And He's omnipresent. You know, you could say, well, yeah, He knows all these things, and He's got all this power, but He's on the other side of the earth, and therefore He can't help me. Right? You might think that. But I read it this morning, Brother Brown said, we believe He's omnipresent, yeah. Right?
Right?
And He goes on to explain that because He is omniscient, He's omnipresent.
Right.
Because He's omnipresent, He's omniscient. Mm-hmm. I mean, in other words, you can't get to a place where God's not there, and you can't get to a place where God can't help you, and you can't get to a place where He doesn't know what you're going through.
That's right.
You can't, it can't be, right? And since you're a son of God, you then you'll know you have audience with God, right? And so Satan get in there and try to tell you and hinder, and so you feel like you're not hearing from God, but it is your lot as a child of God to to have communication with your Heavenly Father.
Yeah.
And so God is omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipotent. So he dwells in a realm of his own. He dwells in a place where when words are spoken, they create. Mm-hmm. You know, we just, here as humans, we just speak so much of the time, probably most of the time, nonsense. But you got to realize God lives in a realm that when he speaks, he can't go back on it. When he speaks, it's not wrong. It's always right.
Right?
Yeah. Right? Who do you know that's like that? Mm-hmm. Only God.
Right.
God dwells in this realm of his own, and so he dwells up there where when you come up into his realm, then when words are spoken, they actually create.
Right.
They're irreversible.
Yeah.
Right? You know, I think about here in the scriptures, you see how that when a king was on the throne, and it was expected that when he spoke, that it couldn't be reversed, mm-hmm. right? Because he in a natural form is like what God is in his realm. And so he's in this realm where when you speak, he creates. And so in a realm where everything is beneath him.
Right.
Everything. All of his creation, every principality, power, everything that was made by him and for him, and it's all beneath him. In other words, it doesn't hinder him. No matter what goes on down here to earth, no matter what, it doesn't bother him because it's all beneath him. He has total, complete control over all of that.
Yeah.
All of those things. And he gets involved when he wants to, and he lets it go when he wants to let things go. I can't think of the word right now, where he does what he wants, right? Sovereign. He's sovereign. He does what he wants. He gets involved where he wants to get involved, and he moves his hand when he wants to move his hand, and everything he does is perfect, right? There's no place in this universe, in any other realm that exists, that God doesn't reach. So you can take off and go to plumb to the other side of the universe and you'll find that God is there and at the same time he's here.
Right?
Right.
Right.
So I know it's all just elementary stuff, but is it really? When you really think about it, really come into this understanding of who it is that is our Father that we are offspring to.
Yeah.
So he lives in this realm of his own. Think about the character that it would take to be able, as we said, to be omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent. Think of the character that it would take to handle that, to be that.
Right.
Think about, you've heard in ministry in the past, it was like, you know, what would happen if we had the ability to speak and speak things when we'd get angry at our neighbor, he wouldn't have no more dogs. Uh-huh. My neighbor wouldn't. He wouldn't have dogs, he wouldn't have chickens, he wouldn't have goats, and he wouldn't have cats. And he wouldn't have 10 or 12 cars in his yard. Or you know what I'm saying? But in reality, if we were angry, then somebody would probably disappear off this earth. So you know, you've heard that. But really think about the character that it takes, that he must possess, so that he has the ability to do whatever he wants to do and knows everything that's going on and yet never makes a mistake and does something wrong.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Never has to back up on what he has done. Mm-hmm. Not one time. And never will. And that applies to your life. He's never made a mistake in his life, in your life. Never made a mistake. When he called you, he knew what he was calling you to. When he put you in this church, he knew what he was putting you in.
Yeah.
No questions about it. That's why the scripture said we need to be still and know that he's God.
Amen.
We need to do that. That even through COVID and through all this nonsense and what we see the whole world burning down, he's still God, and we have to be still and know that he's God.
That's right.
But not just God, but he's our Father.
Yeah.
And we are his offspring. And we're guaranteed a life. here on this earth and hereafter in eternity, of fellowship, being led by His Spirit and having communion and fellowship with His Spirit. And so, if you look at the character that it would take. And so when God's up here in a realm of His own, who can He find that He can have unhindered fellowship with? I mean, who's He going to seek out the whole entire universe and come to a place and say, I can have fellowship, I can have total and complete unhindered fellowship with this person right here or this being right here? Because no one dwells in that realm that He's in except Him.
Yeah.
So how's He going to do that? Which one of us say, I'll go fellowship with God, I'll be able to sit and talk with Him, and I'll be able to fellowship on His level? Who can do that? Nobody. Right? Nobody can do it. Because it takes like kind, like character, and like potential to truly be able to fellowship in an unhindered fellowship way. Like I can fellowship with Brother Tim, but I really can't fellowship with him unhindered in guitar playing ability. Because he's so far above anything that I could ever hope to be, right? So, you know, we both like guitars, right? Like to play. But I can't have complete unhindered fellowship with him because we're not on the same level. You see what I'm saying? So it takes like kind. You got to have the same type of spirit, the same character, same nature that God would have for someone to be able to fellowship with Him on a level that would be unhindered to Him.
Yeah.
Unhindered fellowship. Yeah. And so, it takes someone with like kind, like character, and like potential. See, I don't have the same potential in guitar playing or, you know, that Brother Tim does. So, you know, we can't sit there and just, because he could talk about things that maybe he would want to, and I wouldn't know what he's talking about.
Right?
Right? So I can't have unhindered fellowship with him, or him with me, on that level. You see what I'm saying? And so that's the way it is with God. Who can fellowship with God? Because it would take somebody with the same character and same abilities, same potential, same desires, same levels of everything that then they could sit down and God can sit down and talk to us and talk about creating, speaking the world into existence. How can he tell us and talk to us and we understand that? See what I'm saying? So it takes like kind, and yet we've got a guarantee to have fellowship with God, but yet he's in a realm of his own. And so it takes a like character to be able to fellowship. And so, you know, fellowship can evolve. It does evolve. It doesn't stay the same. It grows. It can also grow away, but it can grow in strength. You take when you have a little child and they're born. You can't really, I mean, I have a new grandson and I enjoy fellowshipping with him. But you see, I have to come down to his level. I can't talk to him about scriptures and about testing motors or woodworking or anything. I can't talk to him about those things because he's not at that level.
Right.
So my fellowship with him is hindered. So what if I want to fellowship with him, I have to come down to his level and I have to goo-goo and talk in funny ways like we do.
Yeah.
Right? And we do that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But he can't stay at that level. And if he stays at that level, something's wrong.
Right.
And if I'm okay with him staying at that level, there's something wrong with me.
Right.
Because I want him to come up to a level where I can talk to him unhindered. I can fellowship with him unhindered.
Right.
And so you realize that as he grows and his ability grows, that level and a fellowship grows also and evolves into something greater.
Right.
When it's normal. And so when it does like it's supposed to. And so Once he grows up and begins to be able to fellowship, then we can understand. When we grow up in God, we can understand things more. We can understand his ways more. We can experience more with him,
yeah.
Right? We can relate more to what he's going on. We can come to a place where we understand why sometimes he has to say no. We come to that place where we understand that. And so, unhindered fellowship with God. But, you know, in order for us to grow in fellowship with God, or anyone, we're speaking of God, then the only way we can grow in that fellowship is to have a relationship with God. You can't spend your whole time just not speaking to one another and expect your fellowship level to increase.
Right.
It's not going to happen. It takes interaction. It takes fellowship for fellowship to evolve. Even a man and a woman who are about to be married, they just enter into a certain fellowship, but that fellowship level will grow over time, especially after they're married. It'll grow and grow and grow to where they find themselves extremely dependent on one another. Amen?
Yeah.
And so, you can't grow in this fellowship, and you can't. We're going into this place where we are to have unhindered fellowship, but you grow into that, and so you can't get that way in that place if you don't ever fellowship with the person or the being that it is that you're talking about. And so you have to fellowship with God in order for your relationship and your fellowship level to grow with him. Brother Ram tells us in God's power to transform. He said, true predestinated believers will stay with the word because they are a part of the word. He said, oh, wandering stars, how long will you wander? Wandering, you know, searching around from place to place. He said, you Methodists and Baptists, Presbyterian, outsiders, whatever you might be, wandering stars from church to church, from pillar to place, from television to television. Look at all the things he's talking about. Just people wandering around from one place to another, just from church to church and from pillar to place, from pillar to place, and from television program to television program, from world to world. This is what he says. From television to television, world to world. He said, why don't you come home?
Yeah.
He longs to have fellowship with you. He longs for you. He wants to transform you by the renewing of your mind, not to the church or to the denomination, but to his word, which you are a part of if that desire is in you. He speaks about the scripture saying, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Might be? No, they shall be, but that hunger and thirst has to be there. And if it's there, and I'll say this, as a son of God, as a child of God, it's there. Right? Because he said, you shall be filled. You imagine a daddy who would let his kids go hungry or his grandkids go hungry. No real daddy's going to do that. No real pastor's going to let his people come in and not have there not be food for them to eat.
Right.
Yeah. Not, you understand what I'm saying? Jesus said, if you're hungry and you're thirsting, you're going to be filled.
Yeah.
Right? So we have that guarantee that in your life, if you hunger and thirst after God, you're going to get it.
That's right. Yeah.
You're going to have that fellowship. But he goes on to say that blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And speaking of God, and has sent his transforming power to bring you out of this deformity. He's talking about the power of transformation. And we've been deformed by the nonsense of the world. So he sent his transforming power to bring you out of this deformity of religion that you are in, in this deformity chaos that we're in. God has sent his transforming power, his word. Now this is what he's done in this day. He has sent his word, vindicated, proven. I mean, tell me, has he done that? He sure has. Sent his word. This message is not just another little church. This is something God has sent.
Yeah.
He sent his word. He vindicated it. I don't care what they say.
Right.
You know, he vindicated it. He proved it. And it's proven to bring you out of this religious deformity of ignorance that you're walking in, naked, blind, visible, and don't know it. Think of it, friends. Amen. So look at all the things there that he was talking about of people. They're going from one thing to the next to something else, just trying this and trying that, just thinking that they're going to find joy and happiness in this and in that and some other something. And they're just wandering stars.
Right.
And some of God's people have done that, you know. But Brother Bam says, why don't you come home? Because God wants to talk to you. God wants to have fellowship with you.
Yeah.
And that's where you'll get what you need. That's where you'll get what you're searching for, is when you surrender it to him. You come home and start talking with him and fellowshipping with him. You'll find out that you don't need to go from church to church to church and from this to that and something else. You'll let all that stuff go because you know it's lying vanities. You know that it's a lie, because there's no joy in those things. It's not, you know, you see somebody and their whole thing, their biggest thing is get the next new fishing rod and reel, the next new gun or whatever it is, and they're never satisfied. Because, and it's okay to have a new gun or a new fishing rod or something from time to time, but that's not where life is at.
Right?
It's in our fellowship with Almighty God. And so, Brother Bram tells us, God wants to have fellowship with you, and by that fellowship, he wants to transform your mind, transform your being. He goes on to say there, he said, you know, God sent his transforming power to fulfill his word and to change the whole body of Sarah and Abraham. Now, Brother Bram is bringing this to rapture, right? God has sent a message, and he has vindicated it. And the reason why he sent it is to come and visit us in this chaotic condition that this world is in, and to transform us and bring us out of that and give us a body change.
Okay.
So it goes on to say that God sent this to change the whole body of Sarah and Abraham, transform an old man, an old woman, because he promised he'd do it. And what God promised us to do, that he will do. Amen. So, Brother Bam is telling us that God has done these things and he wants to transform us. Now, back to fellowship. What happens when you fellowship with God? He transforms you out of chaos, out of confusion, out of the world, going searching here, just wandering stars. Did you know, Brother Bram said, that Cain became a wanderer?
Right.
He had no place to call home. No place where he could come in, just rest and relax and say, I'm at peace. He was a wanderer.
Right.
No place that he knew that he could call. And that's the way it is. These people wander. We've seen people leave the message and they go from this and from that. And they're just terrible. Became wanderers because they walked away from the word.
Mm-hmm.
But you'll never become a wanderer when you're in fellowship with your father.
That's right.
Because your father is guaranteeing that he's leading you in the direction that will sustain you.
Amen.
Amen. I know that in the natural there's some pretty sorry men out there. But we're talking about God.
Right.
Amen. Amen. And by the way, us men are supposed to be patterning ourselves after him.
Right.
Right? Amen. So, he sent this message, his word, to transform us. By his fellowship, transform us. Fellowshipping with us in his word. You know, there is this thing called influence. We've talked about it many times. Brother Brandon preached about it. But God, when he created us, and all of our psychological ins and outs and so forth, he created something called influence. And that is that when you hang around someone, you begin to take on their character.
That's right.
You begin to take on their habits, or you begin to talk like them, begin to act like them. And you can't stop it. Because God created it to be that way. So, mama knows when you've been hanging around with the wrong crowd, you know, daddy will know it or whatever. But that's there. And that's there in the natural. And since it's in the natural, it's also there in the spiritual.
That's right.
Can't get away from that. And so influence. So who you hang out with, you begin to act like them. And so you understand what we're speaking about there. So if I spent more time with Brother Tim, I'm sure that I start becoming a better guitar player or a better fisherman. I'd like to do that. You know, my wife had an uncle. He passed on a little while back. But you could be out, I don't care what day of the year, in the wintertime, sleeting, spitting snow, shivering, and nobody on the lake catching anything, and he'd be catching them. Yeah. He was just like that, you know? So, you know, Brother Tim's kind of like that. And I'm sure that if I spent more time with him, I'd be better at those things. And if I spent more time with Brother Daniel, I'd probably learn about how to find a better deal on a car or something like that, right? Or Brother Matthew, I'd probably learn how to do plumbing the right way. You know, and so, but you understand, if I was interacting and spent much time with these brothers, then you see what's happening there is that each one of these brothers would be pulling me in their direction toward their attributes. Mm-hmm. And I suppose it'd be going the other way too.
Right.
They'd start, you know, they would be, but you see what I'm saying? I've seen it maybe even in high school and stuff like that. Maybe a certain boy that would laugh a certain way, and then his buddies and somebody would be hanging around, and next thing you know, he'd be laughing that way. Right. Bro, I think, you know, the shepherds would kind of laugh like a sheep. Mm-hmm. Right? But the whole thing is, it's all about, it's influence, and it's something God made that's there, right, and it works. Right. It can work in the negative, and it can work in the positive. Right? But it's just like any other law of nature, law of God. It's there. So if I wanted to be a better guitar player, I'd hang around with Brother Tim more or these other brothers with these other topics, right? I would do that if that's what I wanted. But if you want to be more like God, then what's the answer? It's to spend more time with him.
Right?
Amen. Spend more time with him. You become more like him. And so that whole thing works because God made it that way to work. You know, Brother Bram talked about this quite often, where when the disciples, you know, they were ignorant and unlearned men, right? But they took notice that they'd been with Jesus. Says the scriptures, right? Because they were acting like Jesus, right? They were acting like him. And so, that's the way it works. So, what happens when you fellowship with God? Well, God pulls you in the direction of his attributes. The more time you spend with him, the more you begin to talk like him. You begin to act like him.
Yeah.
Right? And I want to ask you a question. How far can that go? How far can that take you?
Yeah.
Right? Well, I say it can take you all the way into the presence of God.
Sure.
Amen? To where you can have total and complete fellowship with God that's unhindered between you and him, either direction.
Yeah.
Because I can talk to him now and he can blow my mind. And I can say it's totally unhindered, but he can say, he's just barely even touching the scale for what I can talk to him about. Right? But I mean to come to that place where God feels satisfied, where he said, this is what I've been looking for throughout all these ages. This is the kind of fellowship I want with my children. Because now we could sit down and we could talk about whatever, and I could talk to them about creative power, and they understand it because they know they have the same potential. They have the same mind. We're one. That's what I've been looking for. And so you see, I believe it can take you all the way to that. And it is taking you all the way to that. Because when you spend time with God, if you spend enough time with God, things of this world is going to drop off of you. Yeah. That's right. You get enough of life in you, death goes away.
That's right.
Like my oak trees out there, you know, they only give up half of their leaves in the fall. They have to rake leaves in fall. And then do it again in spring. Yeah. But you know what makes them come off in spring?
Uh-huh.
Our oak trees are just pretending. They're not real serious about shedding off the old life right now. But when new life comes in, then old things go out.
Right.
And I thank God that I never noticed that anywhere else. Maybe it's only my trees on the whole planet that do that. But because of that, I can sit here and tell you about what happens when new life comes in. Those leaves go away. The old ones go away. So if you have enough fellowship with God, it will change you.
Amen.
It will affect you.
That's right.
And you'll start being more like him. Mm-hmm. But you can't be going off and doing all these other things and expect that to be your source that's going to make you different.
Yeah.
It worked for Enoch. The scripture said Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. Right? He was raptured, translated. And remember, Enoch being the seventh from Adam was a type of this age being the seventh church age from the last Adam, which was Jesus.
Right.
That what God did with Enoch, he's given the same opportunity to us believers in this day to do the same thing Enoch did, and that is to walk with God and be not, for God will take us. Right? And it worked for Enoch. He walked with God and it affected his life. It affected, the scripture said, he had a testimony that he pleased God. People could look back at Enoch and see, because you know that's what a testimony is, right? It sends forth abroad a message about it, right? It's a testimony.
Yeah.
So people could see something about Enoch that the message they got from what they saw was that God's pleased with him.
Yeah.
Right? So that means that us in this day, we can live in such a way, walk with God in such a way, that the same thing that God did in Enoch's life is going to happen in us, and people around us should be able to say, they walk with God. And you can tell it because God's pleased with them. Right? And so it worked with Enoch. He just walked with God. And did you notice the scriptures did not say, you know, here's the scriptures, and it's going to tell you what God wants you to know about Enoch's life, right? He's going to tell you about Enoch's life. And so God says, yeah, this servant of mine, I tell you what, he was such a great servant. He built the Great Pyramid. He didn't say nothing about the Great Pyramid, right? God could have laid it out in the scriptures and said, Enoch built that great pyramid and those walls inside there, that they're so true north that even in 2022 they will not have instrumentation that can do it as accurate as what he did it.
Right.
That whole inside chambers was a whole entire calendar of my plan of redemption. He could have went on through all that, but he didn't. What did he say? He walked with God. Because that's the most important thing, is to walk with God. And it goes without saying, is that if you walk with God, then there's going to be a supernatural thing that's in what you do, and your work, and where you go, and how you act, and everything that follows you, the weight behind you as you go through time, will show that God was with you and that you pleased God and there was a supernatural presence with you. That goes without saying. when you walk with God. So if you just could get people to walk with him, then you know things are happening. You know there's going to be a testimony. That when you're gone, people will say, there was a man that believed God, loved God. Right? It worked with Enoch. Featured greatly with Enoch. Didn't happen on 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, but it was the seventh that this happened to. Wasn't through all the Luther, Wesley, Pentecostal age. Here it is, but it's for the bride, this age, to walk with God. And this thing happened that happened with Enoch. Why did it happen? Because he walked with God.
Yeah.
Had fellowship with God. And that's the most important part. So, fellowship changes you.
That's right.
It changes you. And we know the adoption in the Bible, the child. And father would get a tutor to teach him. And you realize the tutor is teaching the child the same thing the father, Same thing the father, same mindset. Mm-hmm. No man would be hiring a teacher. Listen. Hire a teacher to train your children in a direction you don't want them to go.
Right, right.
And as parents, you have that responsibility. That's right. Biblically, that's a parent's responsibility to make sure your children are being taught to go in the right direction.
Right.
And so this man would hire a tutor and so forth. That child, and what that child is doing is as he's growing and he's gaining under tutorship. In essence, and no doubt, daily as when the dad is able to, is having fellowship with that, and as he grows, he's able to go to higher level of fellowship and interaction and relation as he grows. But where is he headed? This father's fellowship to him, whether it's direct or through the tutor, this fellowship to that son, what is the purpose and where is it taking that son to? It's taking that son to an equal position with the father. That influence, that tutorship, that relationship, that fellowship is taking that son to a place equal with his father, equal in authority. Is it not? That's the whole purpose of fellowship. That's the whole purpose of being in fellowship with the Word of God so that he can bring you to unity with him. And remember, the fivefold ministry is in the church till we come to that unity of faith, till we come to that full measure of the stature of Christ, to where God can look at the church, at the sons of God, and say they're not even one milli-inch shorter in stature or character of Christ.
Yeah.
They've come, why? Because they've fellowshiped, they've been tutored, and they've been brought to that place where they're equal with him. Mm-hmm. And so fellowship changes you, and the whole purpose is to change you into that place of unhindered fellowship with God, with your Father. And the message came to do that. The message came throughout all ages to do that, but especially here at the end time, the message, the capstone of the message, the final work of the message, to come and make that final influence to usher us right on into that presence of being in full unhindered fellowship with God, the message has come to do that right now. And it did it for Brother Branham. If you look at Brother Branham on the mountain. There's so many things that in this life, that affect us, that we have to deal with. Sicknesses in our body, whatever, financial issues, issues with your house, whatever. I built my house back and I spent that time, and I'm going to build this better than they build them out here commercially and so forth. But you know what? No matter how hard you try, it'll decay.
Right.
It will decay. because here we have no continuing city. Right? Got to keep it up. Got to maintain it. I suppose if in all reality you could make a house out of stainless steel and eventually it'd be gone.
Yeah.
Be way down the road, but it'd be gone. Yeah. That arch up there one day will be no more.
Yeah.
Right? Made out of stainless steel. But there's so many things that we have to deal with. It's in our face. It affects us. Gets us down in the mully grubs, and you know, we're going through trials. We all go through it. We're going about pretty much everybody going through it now, the different trials,
right?
Because we have a bullseye on our back. But when you look at Brother Branham up there in Colorado in that storm, do you remember the story where he told all the guys, all the hunters, said, look, it starts raining. You take off as fast as you can and get back to camp, because in 15 minutes you will not be able to see in front of your face from the snow. You'll be lost and you'll perish. Because that's the way it is up there in the mountains high up in Colorado. And so we're familiar with the story. Now, here's Brother Branham up there. It starts raining. He's like, well, time to head back to camp, you know. And he starts heading back there, just like he told all the other guys. And he hears that voice of the angel of the Lord speaking to him and said, stop and turn around and go back where you came from. Brother Branham said, I thought, now, go back up there where I come from to a death trap? Because he knew if he went back up there, he would fall in the condition that the other brothers did. He would perish because he'd be snowed in, wouldn't be able to find his way. He'd freeze to death. He'd die there. So in his own natural thinking, like we do so much when stuff comes our way, how am I going to deal with this? It's like, I go back up. But you see, he had been in fellowship with God long enough to know that when God tells you something, he's not going to lead you to a death trap. And he said, you know, that's the same one that spoke to me, that the squirrels, the different thing, that's the same one. And so, you know what he did? He turned around, went right back up there, and it was a blizzard going on. And he's sitting up there in that spot where he was. Well, I guess all the guys are back to camp by now, you know, and here he is up there obeying God. And we would, for us, you know, he in the natural, just like I said, in the natural, he would assess that just like we would. Oh, you know, I don't know how to deal with this. This is going to overtake me. I won't survive this one. Sometimes, probably every trial that Satan tries to put on you is he tries to make you think, I won't get through this one. This, you know, I don't know how. And we pray and so forth. But see, here's the thing. That storm on that mountain up there was beneath God.
Yeah.
And because it was beneath God, it was beneath his child.
That's right.
But that child just didn't quite know it just yet. Brother Branham's life had been brought and advanced forward in fellowship to the place of unhindered fellowship with God. And so when he's up there, and God speaks to him and says, you know, son, and I'm paraphrasing, son, you got this storm going on right here, and you know what? I can speak to that storm and it'll obey me because it's beneath me.
Yeah.
But you know what, son? You can too.
Sure.
This storm's beneath you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This storm is beneath you. And I can speak, but son, I want you to speak. Because now you understand these things. You've been tutored. You've had fellowship with me long enough that now you understand. And yeah, I could do this, but son, I want you to do it.
Right.
I remember years ago taking Benjamin. First or second time we went squirrel hunting. I think the second time or whatever. You know, and we're out there. And sure, I could shoot a squirrel, but here's a squirrel coming along. And I'm like, you know, he's looking to me to shoot it. And I'm like, no, I want you to shoot it. Because you want You want your sons, you want your children to experience the level of maturity, to experience the things that life has to offer. And God wants us to experience these things that He has to offer for us. So as we grow into that place, we come to the place where He was saying, and He did to Brother Raymond, says, you know, I could do this, but son, I want you to do it. I want you to experience the same level with me. Right? And Brother Raymond spoke. And so here's what he said. He said, Brother Raymond said, and when I meet you at the judgment, I'll have to answer for what he's about to say here. He said, I said, storm, go to your place and stop. And sun, you shine normally for 4 days. Very specific. And no more than I'd said that, the sleet and hail, which is about to blow me down, just stopped. And within a moment or two, the sun was shining right down through upon me. And I looked down across the mountain, and I could see an east wind come. The wind was coming from the west. And an east wind come, and it was coming this way. And I could see the clouds just mysteriously. Where they went, I don't know. And I stood there a few minutes, tears running down through my beard, and them gray. And I thought, God, I don't know what to do. I thought, well, I guess the brethren are all back to tents, and the sun was shining everywhere. And I started walking down the mountain, and the snow was all drying up with that hot sun and steam coming off of my shirt. Just in a moment or two differences. And I started walking down the mountain, and when I did, I heard a voice say, why don't you walk with me? Think about it. Come up here. Come up here where I am. Let me tutor you. Let me talk to you. And let me bring you up to where I'm going to say, I can do this. I can have, but I want you to. And when we come to this place, we can walk together. We can walk and we can talk. Won't you stay up here and fellowship with me? Look at the place that that God had brought him to. And Brother Rem said, oh, that'd be the greatest thing, desire of my life, is to do that. And he starts walking down through there, and the deer come up around him. They've been hunting for days now. We as hunters, we know the opening day, that first shot fired, probably before that. I have a suspicion that when they hear all the trucks coming into the woods the night before, they're gone. But when that first shot, they, like Brother Ram says, or Houdini can't do nothing like they can do it. Yeah. Right? But here he is, he's walking now. God says, why don't you walk with me? Because Brother Ram said, that's the greatest desires of life. But you know what? That's what God wanted.
That's right.
And he's walking with God. Think about that. Up on a mountain there. Storms beneath him. It's already beneath him, over with. What does he have to worry about? Could you imagine the feeling of this having transpired, and then God speak to you and say, let's walk together up here in this great place that we love to go to because it's so glorious.
Yeah.
And he's walking along, and now the deer come walking up. They're not afraid. They should be hiding. They're walking up. Brother Ram's like, man, I can shoot you. But he promised the Lord he wouldn't shoot deer for any of my other brothers anymore, right? He'd been doing that. He'd, Brother Branham, get me this. Brother Branham, get me that. And he'd shoot for different one, and he promised the Lord he wouldn't do that no more. And he's like, well, there's Brother so-and-so. He needs one. And Brother so-and-so says, there's always a test. Mm-hmm. Always a test. I can get this one for that brother and this one for that brother, but I won't do it because I promised God I wouldn't. And you know what God said to him? God said, you remembered your promise, didn't you? Wouldn't it be so awesome to talk with God like that?
Amen.
He said, you remembered your promise, didn't you? Yes, Lord. And God said, you know what? I remember my promise too. I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. That's what the scripture says to all of us.
Yeah.
not just Brother Branham.
Right.
The storm was beneath him. Brother Branham said, I looked and I was young. And I think he even saw his wife, or she was young, but he was young, right? So he had risen to this place of unhindered fellowship where God could say, son, we can talk about it now, and, you know, I can do this, but you do it. You know, you can do it, and let's walk together. And they walked together, and they walked right out into the millennium.
Right.
Animals were not afraid, young again. This is the lot that belongs to sons of God.
Amen.
To grow and come up into this fellowship, and we come into that kind of fellowship with spoken word, and we just go right on into the millennium. That's what happened to Enoch. He walked with God, and eventually God, he just went home with God.
Yeah.
That's what happened. So that storm was beneath him. The other times in the third pool ministry, sister, the tumor that Sister Mita had in her body was beneath him. This is where God is bringing his family to. Right? We're not going to have on rapture morning when it comes time for our bodies to change. These things are going to be beneath us.
Yeah.
Every ache and pain you're having in your body is going to be beneath you.
Mm-hmm.
Because God has brought you up into his realm of omniscient, omnipresent, right?
Yeah.
All-knowing, all-powerful, all-present. He'll bring us right up into that present, into that condition. So that tumor was beneath him. When he was up there and he needed squirrels, that was beneath him.
Yeah.
You know, but he was just like the rest of us. Well, I'm here, there ain't no squirrels. We tried, ain't got nothing.
Yeah.
Right? Just like Peter. Lord, we toiled all night long.
Mm-hmm.
And got nothing. But the Lord said, cast your net.
Right.
See? The difference is when it comes from God. The difference is, you know, you might say, well, Brother Tony, I can't speak. Well, Brother Branham could have probably said that too. I can't speak something into existence. This storm that's bearing down on me, this situation that's bearing down on me and my family and so forth, I can't speak to that. But are you fellowshipping with it? Because it's in that fellowship and that growth of that fellowship that he can look over at you when he's ready and he can say to you, son, I can address this situation, but I want you to speak.
Right.
I want you to speak, and this thing will be beneath you, and then you and I can walk together in fellowship,
mm-hmm.
unhindered. This is what God wants for all of us.
Yeah.
Amen? Mm-hmm. So, sitting there in Sister Hattie Wright's kitchen or where the dining room or whatever they were in, and them boys making fun. Those boys making fun of what Brother Branham was saying about speaking squirrels into existence. That was beneath him. That was beneath Sister Hattie. Right? What was God showing? God was showing that these things are beneath a son or daughter of God. When you, it's not that is all put down, but he brings us up into a place of fellowship where these limitations are beneath us.
Right.
And it's only when we come to that place that God can look over at you and say, what's your desire, Sister Hattie? What's your desire? You speak it, and it'll be.
Yeah.
Amen? And so, that situation of them boys needing salvation, that was beneath it. Because it was beneath God. Amen. So you see, after these things, God said, come walk with me. So Brother Ram was not telling us this story. And God's word calls for total separation from unbelief. He probably tells it other places. But he wasn't telling the story to brag. and say, folks, I'm God's prophet. Look what God does to me. Look what I experienced. That's not what that was about at all. But more than anything, I would say the what it is, so that God used that as a first fruit to wave before us. To let us know that this message that we're feeding on, this message that God sent to transform us, this message He sent for us to fellowship with that will bring us to His level, give us a body change. This message, the same one that Brother Graham preached, that we feed on now every time we come to this place,
right,
and hopefully throughout the week. That message, look what it did to a prophet. Look what it did to Brother Branham. To show you that this message works.
Yeah.
This message works. It will do what God said it will do. And so God, that wasn't bragging. That was God showing a wave sheaf. And that whole concept of the wave sheaf, when that field is becoming full of wheat, and the first portion that ripens, they go out there and they take it, and the priest will wave it before the Lord, thanking Him for the process that made that wheat come to maturity, knowing that the rest of the field will come shortly to the same maturity. And that's what God did through that prophet on that mountain, to show us that this message works, but you've got to fellowship with it. You've got to let it lead you to that place of unhindered fellowship where we know what God's talking about when He says, speak. Right? When Brother Ray was up there and he said, you know, thinking on that scripture, whatsoever you ask, right? And he's like, how can it be? We would do the same thing. How can that be? How can we speak? Or how can whatsoever we ask, faith believing it, you know, how can that be? Brother Ray was thinking on that, and the Lord spoke. Just like I'm speaking to you, said, well, that scripture is just like any other scripture. Mm-hmm. It's the truth. So there's a truth to it. There's a truth to that scripture, just like all the rest of them, that somehow we can come into that place that whatsoever we believe, right? If we believe it without faith, no doubt, then we can have it.
Yeah.
Right? Then there's a truth to that. And we can come to that somehow. So that's for us.
Yeah.
Because it's there. It's got to happen to somebody. God don't just speak for no reason. It's going to happen, right?
Right.
Because it's spoken, somebody's going to be the recipient of it.
Yeah.
Right? And because that was in the scripture that there'd be a wave sheaf, then God had to have a wave sheaf. Mm-hmm. And because God had a wave sheaf, that means that there's got to be somebody else come. It's part of that same harvest.
Right.
And by the way, this is the wheat harvest. Yeah. Not barley, not all that stuff. You know, if you look at the harvest they have, there's different harvest, but the wheat harvest, and then the thing after the wheat harvest is the vine of the grapes, the wrath treading out the winepress. After this message, the wheat message, gathers us into the barn, comes tribulation. See, it all follows that pattern. And so, this first fruit, God has waved that wave sheaf, not first fruit, but wave sheaf, to let us know this message works. So if you'll keep fellowshipping with this word, what's going to happen to you? You're going to grow, and you're going to grow, and you're going to grow. And great things will happen in your life. Like I read the other night, I think it was, that they who know their God will be strong and do exploits.
Right?
Right? And the exploits, that's always such a bad word. You know, oh, they exploited her, or they went and exploited the land of all the trees, or whatever it is like that. But it can be used in a good way.
Right.
They that know their God will be strong, and they will do exploits. And that exploits is where they have access to, and they take that, and they draw benefits from that. And they extract from that everything it has.
Right?
From a resource.
Mm-hmm.
And our resource is Almighty God. Our resource is the spoken word. And I ask you, what kind of benefits can we get from that? Because the definition is that they receive full benefits from that resource. So what is in those resources for us to take into ourselves that we can take this message and exploit it? Now, it sounds bad, but it's not. That's what I'm saying. God put it in His Word. They that know their God will be strong and do exploits. What will they be exploiting? The promise of God for that day. Everything that you need that we will exploit, we'll grab into that and we will pull it in, and it will be a benefit to us, not just to us, but to others. Amen? Yeah. Everything, which includes a body change, yeah. Healing while we're here, salvation, miraculous things, you name it, yeah. In a body change, an unhindered fellowship with God. In this life, but definitely in the life to come and after this world, right?
That's right.
Amen. I mean, it wants that.
Yeah.
Well, then just keep feeding on the Word.
That's right.
And watch how much you're going from place to place and program to program and church to church and voice to voice and idea to idea that can't lead you where you want to go. Be like Enoch and walk with God. That was an age that was wicked, so wicked that God was fixing to destroy it, right? But in that wicked age, there was a man typing you and I who walked with God, and people could see it. He built a testimony. That's what I said that pyramid in the natural is a type of the New Testament bride. That pyramid mountain. And Enoch was building that pyramid because judgment was coming. He built that pyramid, and that pyramid stood that flood. And when that flood came and went and destroyed everything else, that pyramid was still standing.
Yeah.
Enoch built a testimony that could stand the judgment.
Yeah.
And in this New Testament, God had been building a church through seven church ages, which is a testimony that will stand the judgment that's coming, and the judgment is going to hit at some point, and when it's all over and done with, that great city, that bride, that pyramid mountain with the capstone will still be standing unharmed after judgment strikes this earth. And that's what Enoch built as a type. So what about the anti-type? Right? What's greater? I think Jesus said the gift that you put on the altar, or the altar that sanctifies the gift. Think about it. Right? So Enoch is as great as it was, but he was pointing to something. And what he was pointing to was much greater. Amen. So may the Lord richly bless you. Let's bow our hearts to Him as the musicians come. Lord, we thank You for this time to be gathered around Your Word this morning. We thank You because Your Word speaks, Lord, and You draw, and You're so wonderful, Lord, in these things. You take our small efforts, Lord, of our inabilities to do anything, Lord, and yet You come and You work through it, and You draw us, and You speak to us. Lord, we're so thankful for that. Thank You, Lord, for not leaving us in this age without something to draw us into Your direction. Lord, I don't know where we'd be. We didn't have this message. I guess, Lord, we'd be just like the rest of the world with all kinds of different ideas of this and that. But, Lord, You've brought an absolute in this day, and it works. And I pray, God, in every way that we let this absolute be our absolute. We just pray, God, that You bless everyone who hears this message, this sermon, Lord. God, that You just seal it away in our hearts. We ask in Jesus' name. Thank you.
Amen.